Hello, operatives. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 16 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jason, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in the grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we don our bathing suits and arm ourselves with buckets and spades and head to the beach to talk about a seaside narrative kill team tournament. We welcome tournament organizer Bruce, known on the interwebs as Bruce's Minions, to tell us all about it and field our famous guest questions.
Welcome to the show, Bruce.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
Many honourable people have had this seat and been grilled by the absolutely unforgiving guest questions, so don't let us down.
I try not to.
That's good. As ever, we always start the show with our hobby creations recently. Bruce, what have you been up to lately?
Okay, so I've been painting my scouts.
Yep. What chapter?
Well, so they're kind of homebrew chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Love that.
I haven't actually come up with a name yet. They're kind of desert themed. So we've got some desert camo going on and desert bases and what have you.
Perfect.
I put it out there on the Discord for some ideas. And some suggestions so far, modish vipers, because they're wearing desert boots. And
that is good.
And the desert hot sauce, thanks to Simon for that one.
This will work perfectly on a podcast. I was about to say this, but I have some decals with some desert rat symbols on it.
It works even better when your webcam's about 40p, Jason.
I'm after.
Well, yeah. I might talk about that. The homebrew, though. Homebrew chapter, very good. Do we know anything about them yet? Are they successors to somebody?
I haven't decided yet. I mean, I paint Raven Guard occasionally. I'm not into Space Marines, so I'm a bit of a novice at it.
No, Space Marines are rubbish.
Yeah, pretty much. No, deep into the lore yet.
That sounds good. Oh, well, let us know how it gets on. We absolutely love this stuff. We've been working on our own chapter homebrew that I'll come on to in a bit. But, I want to homebrew everything. That's the idea. Oh, that sounds great. Now, did you go shotguns, bolt guns, or knives for your extra guys?
Shotguns.
Obviously.
Definitely. I included one bolter, I think, but everything else has got shotguns for sure.
I haven't gone up against the scouts yet. They sound terrifying, by the way. Everyone grins when they say shotguns.
They don't miss. They don't miss.
Elves don't like them, I know that. So.
No, anyway, Bruce, that sounds really good. I like the desert. I'll be coming on to a bit of desert camo in a second.
Oh, yeah.
But first, Sean, what have you been up to?
I've been getting my fill of hazard stripes. You may remember me talking about my juggernaut / quad bike proxy.
Yep.
And he was feeling a bit bland because he was all white and red and brass. So I've just added some handsome freehand hazard stripes that are all wobbly in all the right places.
Nice. We're being shown the actual model here, guys. And these, from this distance, those hazard stripes look like I should keep my distance.
That's what I'm aiming for. Imperfection is the true perfection. And I've been carrying that forwards. I've been finally painting up the 3D printed dirt bikes that Lee from Gilders Ford printed off for me for use in Necromunda. So I've got... make sure they're framed in the camera.
Nice.
Are they the ones the new squats have fallen off? Or?
Yeah, exactly. We bullied them off. They're ours now. But the intention is that I can take my model, and now he's on a bike.
Fantastic.
That is good.
That was a bike neat tokens.
It's a neat trick. We still got a base, and yet you can slide him on to make him look like he's on a bike. This is
exactly, the pedals are just the right height.
clever stuff. We'll have to add that to our Instagram so we can show you. We have to get a video of it though.
Jason, I owe you so many photos for the Instagram at this point.
I promised our listeners we'd send striking scorpion photos last time.
Don't. That's a month ago and I still haven't done them. They're in a box somewhere. So, lots of hazard stripes, lots of vehicles, but the exciting stuff is I've been doing some more modelling with, where are we? My new Scrap Code Ambot.
Nice.
Which is...
He's a beast.
Half Demon Engine, half Minotaur, 60% guitar wire.
Nice.
I'm really chuffed. Imagine that coming down the dark corridors at you at night.
I don't want to imagine.
I beg your pardon. What about you, Jason? I've been flapping on about Necromunda. Have you been doing some kill team?
Well, kind of. So homemade Beta Decima project is finished. I made my full homemade, here's the ferrotonic furnace. Now, as you can see, I've done it in a very bright yellow.
Fetching
yellow. And Frosty 4K, when I put a picture online, said I should change the name to Banana Decima.
I'm all for it.
That is good, right? And then someone followed that up with, if you fail a jump test on Banana Decima, you've fallen on a banana skin. I love the people in this hobby.
That's actually a Pringle Tonic furnace, isn't it?
It's a coffee mate furnace. But, I've played the game on it now, and it works. It's more or less the same dimensions as the real thing. I bought a stencil to write some, you know, suitably futuristic looking numbers and letters on it.
Your military numbers, didn't you?
Yeah, so I'm very, very chuffed. That has been one of the, projects we wanted to do for ages, make a complete set of homemade terrain from junk. That's really nice. In other news, I bought, out of the blue, I don't know what possessed me, to buy a Thunderbolt fighter bomber off a third-party thing, and I've done it in desert camo. So, Bruce, this would go very nicely with the with your Space Marine Scouts. And that's
so
mostly
this was a third-party resin kit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just got it off of Etsy, and it comes with a pilot who I've given a nice camo sort of jacket to. And friend of the show, Nick, and I are working on a couple of homebrew missions that will involve getting the pilot to the plane, almost certainly, and then getting the plane to take off and maybe strafe some people. So that'll be... And if I ever use the air assets for Vetguard, I've got a plane that I can I can pretend to strafe the board with.
Do you remember Evacuation Inbound?
Yeah. Although this is a single seater fighter, but yeah, sure.
All right. Well, one lucky person gets to escape.
They can cling to the wings.
Well, that would have to be Biggles, wouldn't it? You've got to have the scarf.
Biggles. Yes, that is a good call. Definitely, because you've got room under the canopy to write a name. So I'll do that. So my dilemma is, because currently it's just got a kind of beige and brown camo sort of scheme, but I was going to give it maybe a bright tail, make it like the Red Tails or the Yellow Tails.
Cool.
Yellow Tails will be named after a wine, and Red Tails will be an homage to the Tuskegee Airmen. Which one's morally better? I don't know. And
which one's in your daily life more?
Well, probably not the wine, actually. I don't know. Anyway, I've just watched Masters of the Air, so I'm feeling a bit Tuskegee Airman. So that's good. I'm really chuffed with that. I love, you know, painting vehicles and don't really get to use them very much in Kill Team, but it's going to be a great piece of terrain that I'm sure we'll be using. And then just to flag ahead, even though I've got loads of teams that I haven't got enough games with yet, that I've already painted, but I've kind of run out of projects a little bit. So I was thinking of going proper evil elf and get a hand of the Archon team.
Is this so you can get a better handle on who the Mandrakes are?
No. it's because I think the idea of the Torment Grenade is absolutely ridiculously wild and so 40k that I would like to use it in a game.
Completely.
They seem total nutters. And also, I don't, you know, I've not really got any team. Maybe the Blooded a bit, but I want some like a properly overtly evil team. I know there are no good guys, but, you know, I have like people in the grey area more than proper evil. And the Void Boys don't count because orcs are just having fun. So,
exactly.
Anyway, that's it for hobby. Hobby. What about some games, Sean? You got any games recently? Do you remember
none
Kill Team?
Of Kill Team? None of Kill Team.
Do you remember this podcast?
I do have some Kill Team lined up. Me and Will are going to have a game next week. We're going to have a game. It's going to be my Felgors against either his Corsairs or his Hand of the Archon. He's yet to decide. But I want this year to be the year I get good with Felgors. So we'll...
Okay.
Watch this space. It's not going to happen, but I'd like to. but what games I have played, we finished up the Treasured in the Waste campaign for Gilders Ford. My first Necromunda campaign is finished.
Nice. You won?
Morally. I'll bring that one up again. I had really good fun. So I've picked out a couple of my favorite moments from the last three games. So in game four, I was up against Gareth, who was running the Ash Race Nomads, and his Ambot, his big tunneling robot, charged into my leader, and they've got tunneling fists. Imagine fists with chainswords on either side, plus a melter gun strapped underneath. That's a tunneling fist. So he ran at me with two of these strapped onto this robot.
Sounds like you did.
Well, you'd think. In Necromunda, you have tactics cards that you can play. And it's like a one-time use, kind of like in the Ashes of Faith campaign.
Yeah.
It's like a card that you can burn. And I had one called Unstable Energies, which made him need to check his ammo on the Melter Fist. And he rolled a one, and the Ambot blew up. It was something like a 1 in 56 chance that it was going to happen, and he just went...
That's Necromunda.
That's Necromunda. game 5 was really good. It was me and Richard with his Cordor that looked like their Galvessa, like part of the Tau sympathizers. And we had an NPC AI playing of the Palnite Enforcers. The police were there to crack down on us, raiding this poor crashed wrecked ship. But they were armed entirely with web guns. Wow. So I was having flashbacks to Jason, to your boss fight with the Arbetes Sentinel.
Yeah.
For the likes of me, both of us lost that game because neither of us could move anywhere with all this expanding concrete just pulling us to the ground.
Oh, no.
And the policemen just slapping magnacles on us and arresting half of us.
Oh, no. So you're doing a bit of chokey now.
Well, so we were playing it where if you get captured by the police, you just have to delete that fighter off your roster, including all the equipment they were carrying. They're gone. They've been taken away. Not used for the rest of the campaign.
Are these police bribeable?
Wow. Actually, yes, because it's Necromunda. I should have thought about that.
Surely we can negotiate this.
Exactly. Oh, I'll remember that for next time. So that was game 5. And then game 6 was the grand finale, where I was playing with Ethan, and he's got a Goliath gang that are all 3D printed proxies, but they're based off of Batman's Bane, So they're all, he's got like the big stimmer with all the Venom tanks and everything. And then his leader is Bane from the Dark Knight movie with his arms crossed and the big respirator on his face and everything. And they've got a vehicle that looks like the Batmobile Tumbler.
Oh my God.
From the Dark Knight. It's fantastic. And we were running away from this wrecked ship, and we had to get back to our vehicles to kickstart them to make it back to the Hive. However, every time we moved across the sand, there was we rolled a 66 table, and there was essentially like a 1/3 chance of a sandworm popping up from the sand and attacking us. Or there was also a 1/3 chance of D3 worms popping up out of the sand and attacking us. And I didn't realize that you can jump from the scenery in Necromunda, where I looked across to other tables and people were like weaving their way between these loot boxes and various scattered terrain. And I was there just barreling across like worms popping up left, right and center. And luckily, because I'm corpse grinders, I can cut down some worms. But poor Ethan and his Goliaths were just getting bogged down in these worms. It was really good fun. Oddballs of the match were, we had a visiting member of Guildford Games Club who moved away from the area, but he was came back for one night only. And he essentially brought a boss monster with him that he just kept every 10, 20 minutes would pick up and put down on another one of the game tables. And kind of take part in the initiative and wreck some of your gangers, wreck some of the enemy's gangers, wreck some worms, and then just disappear. And you're like, oh, thanks. This guy just atomized my poor heretic, the monk, my albino monkey, just atomized in the air, just poof.
Well, it sounds like he had a great night.
I think he did. I think he did. And then speaking of bribing... Richard, who I played game 5 with, he had control of an orbital laser, and he would take in-game bribes for us wanting to target some people, like, so we could offer him one or two salvage or some piece of equipment to go, do you mind just shooting that guy, you know, on that table over there? He's like, let's go roll some dice.
it's a filthy world in the Underhive.
Oh, I know. You can tell from my voice, I absolutely loved it. It was great fun.
Have you played Necromunda, Bruce?
No, not at all. No, never. Kill team.
Does this tempt you in any way?
It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, I've got to admit. I like the idea of killing the worms.
Very Dune.
It was very, I think it was heavily inspired. But
I watched Dune last weekend. It was very good.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'd love to, though. It
includes worms.
I got to keep a worm as a souvenir.
Oh, it's only a dinky one.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a tabletop game, man.
Look, unless you're riding them.
Not going to have Cy Hulud popping up out of my basement.
Well, as long as Timothy Chalamet doesn't turn up, you're fine.
What about you, Bruce? Have you been able to play any games recently?
So I had a game last week, last Friday. And I played into Hand of the Archon, funnily enough, with my Exaction squad, which I've been playing quite a bit recently.
Nice.
Fantastic. Are you enjoying them?
Yeah, really good fun, actually. Yeah, much more than I thought I would. But, the team that I built over Christmas, kitbashed from some Palanitan forces, nice bright white and fluoro yellow paint scheme.
Oh, fantastic.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so it was a good game, and one of my subductors got hit with a shredder rolling 4 crits.
Wow.
They wasn't going to tank that.
No one would.
And then my boss ended up in a fight with the Crimson Duelist. He was only on 5 wounds, and the Crimson Duelist attacked, bearing in mind his 4 attacks hitting on 2s, and killed the Crimson Duelist. So
no way.
Don't take on the Exactant. That's my lesson.
Okay.
Fantastic.
This could be as someone who would like to give the Hand of the Archon a go. This is some salutary lessons here. Don't go up against Exaction Squad. That's for sure.
I only won the game by 1 point, so it was very close.
Oh, well, that's what you live for, then.
Exactly.
To quote Fast and the Furious, to win by an inch or to win by a mile, a win is a win.
You got it.
That sounds really good. My exaction squad have got white armor, so give yourself an extra point for being in the white armor crew.
He's accruing points before the questions even start. What is this?
Yeah, and he's desert camoed his people. Oh my god, we're just maybe Bruce. What are you doing next week, Bruce? We got
Jason. Have you been fitting some games in around this hobby you've been doing?
Yeah, just the one. Friend of the show, Nick, and I got together. I wanted to give the Void Boys troop my proxies for the Void Dancer troop, but orcs is. This is such a perfect... The more I play them, the more Orc Storm Boys just fit the rules of Harlequins. You know, flying, you've got to just be quite aggressive. And I play them as if I'm an orc, so you know, all in, no hiding about. Well, maybe a bit of hiding about, and you go in under the smoke of your own rockets. Anyway,
I love that.
Nick had never played Wormblade before, and he fancied giving them a go, so he borrowed my Wormblade models. And this has happened to me a bit recently. I've been playing against my own models, so it just feels that little bit worse when they kill you. When it's your painted, you know, stuff coming back at you. Anyway.
The emotional betrayal.
We played on the homemade terrain. I wanted to sort of see that it worked. And yes, really pleased that it... we used a standard one of the map layouts in Salvation. Yeah, really nice game. Now, the last time I played on Beta Decima, it was... against the Necrons, the Hierotech Circle, and they nanomined me, and I had a bit of a rough night. And this time against Wormblade, it was a different story. When you can fly, and when your opponent has some quite unfortunate rolls. So as we're all learning at the moment, so if you play on Beta Decima and you fail a jump test, it's pretty rough because it's a 1 in 6 chance. It shouldn't happen that often. So Nick had a neophyte that I think it was his first activation of a turn, and he was going to jump test and go and, you know, cause some mayhem and grab a objective. He fails the jump test.
And
the problem is he's now blocking the route for everybody else, so nobody can get behind him to do anything, including the Kellamorph. The Kellamorph, the best, you know, my favourite character in the whole game, who's an absolute menace if you can get him close. So he blocks the Kellamorph and somebody else. Turn two, neophyte tries to jump, fails a jump test again, still blocking the same route. Now if I were to tell you that on a third turn tries to make a jump, can you lay any guesses for the third turn in a row? Because bear in mind, I've not killed this guy, he's still blocking this route. three jump tests in a row with the same operative. We concluded that he had a thing for heights and just couldn't do it. He just, like, you know, like horses, you know, refuse a jump.
He's only known the underground subterranean caverns,
yeah,
and suddenly he's out in the bright air with waves crashing underneath him. No wonder he froze, to be honest.
No wonder he froze. So obviously it was funny for me to see this. I was like, why don't you just fly like I can? Is that not a thing for everybody? And it turns out Harlequins are quite good against teams who don't specifically nerf their good things. So that was good fun for me. I think Nick had a bit of a rough night, and three failed jump tests in a row is pretty rough.
That is rough. So,
but it was quite good. To get a game in. That was good fun. And then next week I've got a game planned with Digger Al, where I'm going to give him my ITD terrain. We're going to play a last game on ITD with my own terrain, and then for a negotiated sum of money, he's going to have it because I need the space.
So it's going to be a farewell game.
It's a farewell game. I'm quite looking forward to it, though. It's sort of a salute the into the dark terrain off. And I'm not sure what team to take. I might take the scouts. I want to start the scout campaign soon. So we might do that. Anyway,
that'd be good fun.
That's for another time. Kill team news. What news do we have?
Well, since last episode, we've had an FAQ and errata update. Some of them were even sneaky without the dates added to them.
So you had to guess.
Yeah, you had to guess. You had to go through and manually check everything to see what's been updated. You didn't have to. Some of them were dated and you could check everything. But a couple of interesting changes. I couldn't name two off the top of my head, but I do have one here. The big one for me is Strikeforce Justian now actually has access to TAC Ops. They've got archetypes.
Woo!
And as everyone guessed, they are Seek and Destroy and Security. Although a big hint from Can You Roll a Crit is just take Seek and Destroy. They're very good at killing.
Reliable. That's if you absolutely reliable. Positively have to put someone down, you want a team that just shoots twice.
Bop, 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 bop.
Bruce, were there any ones for you out there?
Well, as a Horde team player, I didn't really appreciate the blast and lookout sir rule.
No.
for those of us who don't know, I'm looking at me. What was the change?
Well, so quite a few of the teams that I play, like Blooded and like Pathfinders, they will have ways of shrugging off the wounds when you're selected as a blast target. Not anymore. It seems there's no lookout, Mr. President, bodyguard. You've just got to take those hits.
Oh, I see. Rough. Jason, did anything stand out for you?
Well, only that again, Strikeforce Justin, it was confirmed that the heavy bolter does 5 shots and not 4. I think that's the way every single person in the universe has been playing it, so but it's nice to have it confirmed, I guess. I did listen to Can You Roll a Crit's rundown of it, but I've got to be honest, I can only listen to ones of teams I'm currently running, and I don't remember there was something on Void Dancers, and I can't remember that it.
I skip through to the ones that I play as well.
It's too much to remember in this game as it is.
Bruce is nodding as well. We all do it.
I mean, our listeners, I'm sure, assume that we have an encyclopedic knowledge of everything in the game, whereas sometimes I forget what my name is. So, now at the time of recording, now this is just before Adepticon, where we're hoping to get some news at least. We still have no actual release date for the Nightmare box, but who knows? By the time Sean has edited this, let's hope it's been released and is in your hot little hands. In non-Kill Team news, previous guest on the show, Nightfire Gaming, has made his own game called Contact Xenos. This looks quite a lot of fun, uses minis you almost certainly already own, and most attractive of all, he promises it's something you can get playing within about 15 minutes, which sounds pretty attractive if we're all a little bit time poor. So if you fancy checking that out, he's done a little video.
That sounds great.
And I think he's going to try and do a run through of the game, so check out his YouTube channel, that's Nightfire Gaming. And now podcast news. Our podcast news.
Of course. So, just an update from us that you have been hearing a little bit more about Necromunda. We love storytelling within the 40k universe, and the soap opera that is Life of a Hive Ganger is too tempting not to do. So, Jason's going to be playing his first game of Necromunda soon. With me, I should add. With me. So keep an eye out for up-and-coming Gene Stealer Cult Gang. Don't worry if you are a dedicated kill teamer. That will remain the focus of the show, but we're open to all 40K narratives. So,
The Venn diagram of if you're interested in narrative and own 40K, you know, minis, it just seems a bit of a no-brainer. As far as I can tell, I've got all the minis I'll need to do at least a basic gang. So,
oh yeah, for sure.
Seems, and I'd say this, Sean, if you're worried about not winning enough, let me come along and you'll be, you know, victorious very soon. So don't worry about that. Small Hearts of Oak lore update. So this is our podcast official Space Marine chapter, the Hearts of Oak. We're pretty much there with all the basic stuff, all the basic lore. And we're working on sort of including some stories and stuff. About some, you know, battles they've been in and some sort of deeper lore on how they got to where they are. But we've got one little update since last time. So one of their sort of chapter, operations is that they frequently, though not exclusively, work closely with trusted Imperial Guard and Navy units in what they call expeditionary formations. Space Marines form the nucleus of these and lead these amalgam units. The forces range in sizes depending on the mission and availability of troops and Marines. So we have expeditionary units. This is 1 to 3 squads of Astartes. And this is usually accompanied by 1 to 6 regiments of guards, plus air assets, logistical support, and Navy support. We have expeditionary groups. This is where a company of Hearts of Oak will rock up. And this will be with 2 to 20 guard regiments with air wings. There'll be a strike cruiser, Navy cruisers, escort frigates. And then, very rarely, this has only happened a dozen times in the history of the chapter, the full expeditionary force. The entire chapter turns up. 80 plus regiments of guard, multiple air groups. And I'm doing all this because my guard units all have a black and white stripe identity shoulder pad. And initially I kind of thought this was their like army group signatory. But now I'm going to make it the expeditionary, the Marine expeditionary group.
Oh, that's cool. Well, it's cool when it all accidentally ties together.
Might all accidentally tie together. So that's pretty cool. So obviously the guard kill teams that I've already put together, the 53rd Wexmouth Maritime Infantry, the 47 Wexmouth Special Service Group, the 5th Skardens, although they have unfortunately since turned to chaos, so you can't have everything. And the fighter I think will be the 808 9th Navy Pursuit Squadron, maybe. There we go. And Tommy, our lore master, I think we can call him now, is also working on some background for why we are successors to the Dark Angels. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. So going forward, I'm gonna try and put this in a document and publish it so people can look at. There is another podcast out there called Astartes Anonymous, which actually invites people to send in their homebrew chapter lore and we'll rate it. So I might even try and do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Maybe we should try and get them on the show. Who knows? Yeah, so that's very cool. If you have a homebrew Space Marine chapter, Bruce, let us know. We will read it out on the show. We love this kind of thing. If you have anything else you'd like to send us, we'll be going on this a bit more, but if you have a narrative event you want us to plug, if you've done a narrative event, we'd love to hear about it. Contact us on onceuponakillteam@gmail.com. Message us via Instagram or Threads at onceuponakillteam. That was all the news.
Main
topic of the show. We are very, very chuffed to have Brewster's Minions, I love a pun, as our latest victim of the Once Upon a Kill Team guest questions. Now, as all our long-term listeners will know, this is tough. There are wrong answers. And if you get very wrong answers, I'm afraid we have to throw you off the show. I don't make the rules. Maybe I make the rules.
Maybe you don't.
Okay, so you ready, Bruce?
Let's go for it.
Okay, let's hammer it. Okay, first question is from you, Sean.
So, Bruce, what was the very first 40K model you ever painted, and do you still have it?
I don't have it, no. I think, so I had the Space Hulk. I think it was the first Space Hulk box.
Wow.
Yeah, and I painted up the Terminator with a little chain fist.
Fantastic.
I even did a homebrew, I think it was a homebrew chapter then. I called them the Fire Angels.
Oh, nice.
And, unfortunately, it sat up in my loft, and my parents had a bit of a clear out. And I just
that seems them. To be the downfall of many a collection.
See, it's one of my... I've never played Space Hulk, and I kind of really... I'm into board games anyway when I'm not playing 40K stupid model things. I quite like board games. And it's quite... It looks quite good fun and relatively simple. So they should... I can't believe they don't just release it all the time.
It was great. It was really good.
Yeah, there we are, GW. Get on it. that's very cool, though. You've definitely passed that question. Okay, easy one. Favorite 40K faction?
Gene Steeler Cult.
It's pandering now. That's correct.
I've got to represent the downtrodden, oppressed.
That is right. We're sticking it to the man. That is very, very good. Do you have the Wormblade team? Is that
do indeed. They're one of my favourite teams.
Okay, great. Oh well, this is two flyers. Can it now? Next question trips a lot of people up.
Which Primarch do you feel is the coolest?
I guess it's got to be Corvus Corax. I mean, the guy dresses in black. he's got whip. You know, what more can you ask?
he's the emo. It's the emo marine.
Well, possibly the only loyalist demon Primarch, so that's exciting.
Well, that's a shock. I'm afraid our listeners are absolutely not thrilled by that bit of background. Okay, well, I'm afraid he isn't the coolest, but that's not a horrendous answer, so we're gonna keep you in the game for now. Okay. So if you had to, mind, which Chaos God would you worship?
It's got to be Tzeentch. I never knew where he's coming or going. So
is he the trickster? He's playing a trick on me right now. No, okay, that's good. That's good. That's acceptable. We can let you have that one.
Bruce, we know you're a Horde player. But are you a sneaky or a killy player?
Yeah, so I should be sneaky, really, but no, it's killy every time.
Hey.
Why hold back, you know?
We like to roll dice.
Why make it simple when you can go round the houses 50 times to get to your goal? That's what I say. Okay, no, there's not really a wrong answer on sneaky or killy. Because we have one of each on this podcast. Okay, we may already have answered this, or we may not, but go to Space Marine chapter.
Okay, well, I don't really play Space Marines very often. I guess it'd have to be Raven Guard. I got the box set with the Death Guard and intercessors in it, and I painted them up as Raven Guard, so I've kind of stuck with it really. But
nice.
Well, I've got Phobos and Intercession, but they come out once in the blue moon for a training game and so on. I've even kicked back Strike Force Justin. I just haven't got around to painting them up yet.
Oh, I need to see these.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's okay. That's not wholeheartedly wrong. Okay, very good.
Bruce, as a TO, I imagine you've seen all of them, but what is your favourite terrain to play Kill Team on?
As in set.
I think I like Chaunath. It's just, I had the first starter box from last edition, and I've just been adding to it. I've got about three or four Chaunath sets, and you group it all together, and you're going to make some amazing boards with it.
I bet that makes nearly a skyscraper in its own,
yeah,
doesn't it?
You've got a city.
Exactly.
Very good. Okay. That is an unusual choice, so respect. Okay, now, GW have loved to put a pet in most teams these days. What's the best Kill Team pet, in your opinion, and are there any ones that you'd like to see in future teams?
Yeah, the best has got to be the Krutox, isn't it? I think if it's still valid, but...
It's still valid.
It is.
Slightly unmanageable pet. Get that on the sofa.
Kennel in the back.
Yeah. It's like a Great Dane who kind of dominates a room.
What new pet? Maybe the Felgors should get a goat. Who knows? With some dynamite strapped to it, you know. Just for a bit of extra threat. They probably need some extra threat.
The Felgors version of a bomb squig. I love it.
just on the Krutox, I've got to say, since the new models have come out, that the new Krutox looks even better than the old one. And I'm under massive temptation. If you can just buy that as a single model, I'm very tempted to get it. And then we'll homebrew it into the Farstalker Kinband.
The one with all the bangles on its arms, that's going to be a standalone model.
Yeah, I think when that comes out, it'll take some temptation for me not to get that one. Because I like the crew as like a faction, but I'm not quite gelled with the actual Kill Team that well. But got a Krutox in it. Can't go wrong with that. Okay, well, you've got through your very strong couple of first answers. Slightly wobbly on a couple of them, but I think you're still doing good. That was the general questions. We now have Kill Team questions.
So Bruce, as a game, what do you like about Kill Team specifically?
I mean, for the alternate activations, you know, having to make decisions on the hoof and the back and forth between you and your opponent. I guess more immediate. I quite like that style of play. And you kind of feel involved the whole time.
Correct.
I like that too. I really like the reactivity of it all. Rather than like big 40Ks, you go, do your whole army. Now I'll go and do exactly the same.
Ain't got time for that.
You make a cup of tea, watch an episode of, you know, Law and Order. Come back for your turn. So specifically, which is your favourite Kill Team to play right now?
So I think, as I said, I'm into Exaction Squad at the moment. Had about three or four games with them, and I've got my leader, my Proctor Exactant, and his name is Marcellus Wallace. He's my big shield dude.
What does he look like?
He basically sword and take care of business, you know. It's more to say.
Please tell me somebody else is called Mr. Wolf. The dog. The dog's got to be Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, he's now. And I love the Leashmaster and dog combo. It's just fantastic just to set them on, sick him on some poor and unsuspecting goon.
Oh, see, I've never had a game. I've never had a game against Exaction Squad. I need to remedy this. I need to be on the receiving end of justice, as it were.
Arresting people is just feels great, you know. I don't know. Even when you, like, my Kellamorph got arrested once, and I managed to free him by basically killing the Castigator. That was great. Anyway, didn't fare so well in the funnest kill team list, but anyway, I approve. That sounds really good.
So they're your favourite to play. Who is your absolute worst to play against? Who's your nemesis team?
It used to be Intercession, but not so much these days. I guess probably Corsairs. They always seem to catch me out with some new trick that I've... that I'm not aware of.
They've got so many tricks to keep track of as well.
Every time.
They're my nemesis team, so absolutely correct. Oh, you're killing this round. You're killing it.
Shredding every time.
All right, now which single operative is your favourite in the entire game?
Okay, it's got to be the Kellamorph. But... I know, little choice. So I'm going to say the disciple of Yolindra with the janky pistol and the injury grenade. That's fantastic as well. I just love that piece.
That's the disciple of Yolindra from the Hand of Archon team.
Okay,
there we are. I was racking my brain like, oh, the name is familiar. Where's it from? No. Oh, perfect.
Very good. Both excellent answers. Right. You've only got one more. You're still in it so far.
Not one more question. One more batch.
No, one more question. one more batch. sorry. You've passed, Bruce. You've passed. You're now safe. You go home with all the prizes you've won so far.
The finals.
I know you're thinking, what prizes, but don't ruin it. The guest questions you can't get wrong. So you're an alumni now. In what
you're one of us.
Are considered an elite group.
Bruce, you had the absolute, well, I will say pleasure. You ran a narrative event down in Dorset. Earlier on in the year. I know it was quite a way away since it went on. Do you want to tell us a bit about it and how it went?
Okay. Yeah, it was in Bournemouth. It was in February. Who doesn't like to be at the seaside in February? And it took place at Beachhead, the expo. There were lots of competitions there. Over 600 competitors all battling out in various different formats. We had our kill team competitive tournament and our narrative tournament, which was called Bomb the Beach. And it was all beach themed. It was all set around a fort in the middle of a large board, four players on each board. And they were all striving to get to the fort to retrieve the deck chairs.
And you custom built these boards, didn't you?
Indeed, yes.
Using molds of sandcastle buckets.
Well, in the end, they actually turned out to be the sandcastle buckets, all painted.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, you know, taking molds, but plaster of Paris molds weigh a ton. I found out, and they're not easy to get out of the sandcastle buckets.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So there was that, and so there was a flag in the middle, or there was a bridge connecting the two sandcastles, and it was like a closest to pin, capture the flag type affair. And so each competitor before the game got to choose a battle honour. Well, they rolled randomly for a battle honour, and they chose a... and they chose a natural born killer. And we tracked all the kills throughout the game, and the top killer of all the narrative games won a prize at the end of it. And yeah, there was
hold on, who was the winner?
Okay, so quite unexpected, really. But the winner was...
It was a guardsman, just a basic guardsman.
No, one step up, it was a spotter. Kept him bombing everyone with their orbital barrage.
Oh my God, the barrage is horrendous.
There's no hiding from it.
I was not expecting that. Okay.
Managed to rack up 6 kills. Respectable.
That sounds fantastic. Now, I've got to say, when I first heard about this event, there was a bit of me that was thinking this would be so cool to do on the actual beach with the tide coming in. So you've got to play it in a certain amount of time. And then there's somebody on your team's got to dig a trench to kind of divert the water as it's come. But sadly, that wasn't quite what I was in my mind.
Sounds like you just need to visit the beach, Jason. I think you'd be happy with that.
I love the beach. I do cold water swimming, so I'd have gone for a swim.
Of course.
Wouldn't have put me off in February.
The tide was encroaching. So, 3 inches off every turning point. So it kept the competitors moving. And there was also a timer, a little cube 30-second timer. So you didn't get caught in the quicksand to keep things moving.
Wow. This is so good. This is so good. This is why narrative is brilliant, people. I mean, you're listening to this podcast, so you guys all know that. But, that is fantastic. And and who was the winning team?
Okay, so in the end, Tyranids won. Compendium Tyranids.
Oh wow!
They've been storming the scene globally. I think people have been picking them up because they're bored of all these other teams, and then they're just like, wait a second, these guys are pretty good fun.
Oh, they're fantastic. And it was 3 warriors as well with the Gene Stealers. So
very good, cool.
Good stuff.
So the Star Children came. The revolution happened. I think it was a good day for me and you, Bruce. I think that sounds like how we wanted it to go. I'm sure.
I was happy to know it turned out.
I'm sure nothing bad will happen. Okay, so... That sounds really, really good. And it sounds like, you know what you're doing with events. So for our listeners out there who might be considering doing an event themselves, have you got any tips for what makes a good narrative kill team event?
I guess it just sort of depends. You know, everyone's got to have fun at the end of the day. So... you know, if you can, as long as you make sure everyone enjoys it, then you're doing okay.
There you are. I think it's worth pointing out that Bruce doesn't just do events. He's running one of the best kill team community discords for Southwest England. And it seems to be ever expanding. More and more regions keep getting added to the list of channels for people to find matches and everything. It's been a really nice hub, seeing everyone's hobby progress and seeing all these different local metas of what everyone's complaining about.
It's popular and it's just grown over the last few months. It started off just a handful of us. And yeah, this is the growth of Kill Team over this last season, really.
Yeah, fantastic. We haven't said what the Discord's called. It's the Kill Team Alliance.
Kill Team Alliance.
Pop a link in the show notes. I think there's also a Facebook page. I think there's a Facebook page as well. For your old timers out there.
There is a Facebook page, but it's not the Kill Team Alliance. It's called South by Southwest Kill Team.
Yep. Not to be confused with the one in Austin.
I feel like you've walked into that one, Jason.
I've been to Austin. Do you have any other custom rules that you used in the tournament and ones that you think you'd want to use again?
It was quite good. So we had the rule whereby each player got two tokens, and one was an active mine and one was a decoy mine, and they got to place it in the other territories before the game started after deployment. And there was some light terrain on the board, like junk walls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of getting two barricades each, there were tank traps and they were heavy. So everyone started off with two pieces, like heavy barricades, and they could use some of their equipment points to buy an extra heavy barricade. So they could plot their route to the centre and hopefully be safe, but not that safe.
No, that really sounds safe. Like a good use of equipment points.
That's pretty cool.
And there were the encroaching tide rule, and anything left on the tide mark got swept away and cleared off the board.
Did many people fall foul of that?
I fell foul of it. I left my Howling Banshee Exarch on the tide line, and it's just a toe over.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, and it
swept away.
Yeah, it killed about three operatives up to that point, and it was only the second turning point, I think.
Wow.
Swept away, so it wasn't going to win the killer award.
Did the tides come in from the deployment zones and kind of get towards the fortress?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, they got closer to the fortress.
Wow, that's such a good mechanic.
I like that. It's almost like the floor is lava. You know, you gotta get to the higher ground, get to relative safety.
So what was that? And the timer cube. If you timed out, your operatives were stranded. They didn't get to do their shoot or their fight. So yeah,
that's like a fun version of the stop clock.
Exactly. I'm not a big fan of chess clocks, but these cubes, the timers, they were a lot of fun. Everyone enjoyed them.
That does sound great, because I've because you know, Sean and I have played. Sean and I are two of the most casual players you'll ever meet, and we played with a clock, and I think we quite liked it because it just gives you a little prompt not to procrastinate.
Not to dawdle, not to overthink, and for me it meant that I'd get my train home on time, so
yeah.
I was a big fan.
He's a big fan, and yeah, it sped up how quickly you decimated my team with your Orc Stodies.
Well, I think the trouble is I don't put a lot of thought into what I'm going to do, which is probably why I'm quite a casual player.
Oh, there he is. Okay. They're so good. Timer cube coming on the screen. Because I think I might have mentioned on a Discord about how I thought, you know, even for casual player, chess clock was, you know, quite a nice idea. And I was just shocked with some of the vehemently anti-clock people who I think find it incredibly stressful. And I don't think I quite appreciated. Maybe not everyone's a fan.
Maybe not everyone's a fan. Do you remember when Games Workshop advertised Kill Team as a game you could play at in your lunch break at work?
Yeah, in a 3-hour boozy lunch on holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you could have a chess clock, but if you don't lose the game, but it'd be the same thing with the cube, but they have to take a shot of whiskey, and so you're getting drunker the slower you are.
That doesn't sound like it's going to speed things up in any way.
No, but I'm just trying to... Yeah, anyway.
It might make the passage of time go faster.
Or the Mafia version, where you lose a finger for every... Look, it's a grim universe out there. Yeah, well, There are many ideas that I've got, including losing fingers for future events, but they may not go past the idea stage. But I think we should have a little announcement at this point. So we've talked on this show about narrative. We've been to narrative events. We've had people who've organized narrative events, including the Fantastic Bruce we've had today. But, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time that Sean and I put our money where our Voxcasters are and that we help run a narrative event ourselves. Coming this fall to a medium-sized Thames Valley town, possibly near you, one of the greatest Kill Team narrative events you will ever have the chance to participate in and run by us. We're afraid, but we're also very excited. With the help of Bruce and his guys, we're sure we're going to have an amazing event. We'll talk more thoroughly about what you can expect on future podcasts. But the dates were 16th.
I don't think we've settled on a day. No. But it was the 16th or 17th of November.
Yeah, pencil that in your diary. Farnborough.
Farnborough Warfare is the event.
Yeah, we have got a great packet, but we'll go into more detail of that with a fancy title and loads of exciting things that you'll be able to do. Yeah, can't come soon enough. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Obviously, I'm going to say that because I'm in on it. But yeah, what do you reckon?
Yeah, fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a good one. And it's a fantastic site. It's on the Tech Park. So it's going to be, you know, all mod cons.
Toilets, yeah. And everything.
Toilets.
Oh man.
Wi-Fi. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And yeah, can't wait really. So that is the show. Thank you so much, Bruce, for coming on. You passed brilliantly by just saying all the teams that I like, I think. but, you know, that's something for future guests to bear in mind. But thanks very much. You're brilliant, and we can't really wait to work more closely with you, really. It'd be really good.
Yeah, we're going to have great fun.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. Thank you.
So next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, we're going to talk onboarding new players to Kill Team with guests and brothers Kenny and professional commission painter Chris. How do you get that Warhammer curious person in your life converted to a Kill Team maestro with terminal plastic crack addiction? Let's chat about it.
If you like what we do, it would be amazing if you could help the show out with a couple of Imperial credits via Ko-fi. That's also the place where you can download our ready-to-play 3-game campaign, Escape from Pliskin Island. We also have a super handy narrative cheat sheet and some funky objective markers with our logo on it. There is a link in the show notes. We invite you to pop in a donation, but if you would just like to try these out, you can download them all for free.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost, it's whether your Blades of Cain decide to take a few centuries relaxing on a Chrome World's beach, only for it to be spoilt by some commandos emerging from the waves, snorkels, flippers, and all the DACA they can carry. See you next time.